When the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed a few weeks ago in Maryland, the horrifying footage flew around the internet.
Today, the FBI confirmed it has opened a criminal investigation into that ship collision that sent the bridge crumbling into the Patapsco River.
And immediately drew conversations about the safety of other bridges around the country. In Michigan, one of our major bridges of comparison is the Mackinac Bridge. It's a 5-mile span over the Straits of Mackinac.
Yes, a bridge that would withstand all the forces of nature. Winds, ice, and strong currents. The design called for construction of 34 piers. But where do you begin building a bridge? Where do you get a foothold?
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Watching a freighter run into the supports of a bridge in Maryland also struck a chord with retired Detroit journalist Louis Mileczko. In 1989, he reported that the supports under the Mackinac Bridge are themselves vulnerable to collapse if they were struck by a freighter.
The vulnerability is there. It's been shown over and over. And all it takes is one incident to cause a catastrophic failure, as we saw in Baltimore or Sunshine Skyway in Florida.
The article from October 5th of that year stated in a bold headline, "Big Mac, Big Flaws." It starts like this. If the Mackinac Bridge were built today, it would be a different bridge. And the article goes on to list a lack of protections from boat strikes as a key deficiency. Louis Mileczko joins us now to share a little bit about what he knows about bridges and their possible structural issues. Lou, welcome to Stateside. It's good to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on your program.
Why was it that in 1989 you were thinking about the supports on the Mackinac Bridge?
Well, it was about a week and a half beforehand. I was the highway and transportation writer for the Detroit News for over 10 years. And in late September of 1989, a Royal Oak woman, Leslie Pluhar, was driving northbound on the Mackinac Bridge. And it was during a gale rainstorm, and she lost control of her vehicle near midspan, careened into the curb, which is a circular metal tube, which catapulted her up onto the top of that low railing, and she went over the side and plummeted into the Straits of Mackinac in her car and drowned, as they took several days to recover her body. I was up there for an entire week covering that event for the news, and I had the opportunity to interview the Mackinac Bridge engineer at the time, Max Coburn, for the Bridge Authority, and others.
Well, were there changes that the state made to the Mackinac Bridge after this frightening and really tragic accident?
Unfortunately not. The state legislature, a legislative committee in January of 1990, came out with a recommendation that the Mackinac Bridge Authority, which is an arm of the Michigan Department of Transportation, install new railings and a median for the Mackinac Bridge. That never went anywhere. MDOT and Bridge Authority officials have been resistant to changing anything at the bridge. And to this day, that antiquated railing curb system is still a feature of the Mackinac Bridge, as is the lack of any kind of a median barrier.
So after this incident, you continued to talk to experts and engineers, like you say, about maybe some different possibilities that should be thought about. I mean, obviously, nothing really happened with respect to the recommended changes. But what were you hearing from some of your engineer sources about potential vulnerabilities?
The Mackinac Bridge was never built with what are called protective pilings or dolphins or fenders, which are separate structures adjacent to the vertical piers that support a bridge. Those are unprotected at the Straits of Mackinac. And This has been an ongoing problem for major bridges across the nation. For example, the New York Times just last week reported that from 1960 to 2015, there have been 35 major bridge collapses caused by big ship collisions.
Wow.
Now, the problem with Mackinac is everyone thinks, oh, the two main towers are pretty sturdy. You don't have to worry about the suspension towers. However, people forget that the supporting bridge itself that leads to the twin towers, which is really in the middle of the straits, you have, in effect, 33 vertical piers, concrete piers, that support the steel superstructure. And those are totally exposed to a ship losing power or getting lost in fog, where it would, a ship could drift away from its proper location and slam into the bridge. And we have freighters now, 60,000 tons or more, 1,000 feet long, that are traversing the streets of Mackinac on a daily basis. As engineers told me, a ship going off course for whatever reason could slice through that four-lane bridge like a hot knife through butter.
How come the Mackinac Bridge does not have rock pilings or fenders around the support? I mean, it seems like at the time it was built, the technology was available, so to speak?
Well, yes, there was technology available. A good example is the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. That has extensive piling protections for its two towers because they stand in the waterway there. So it wasn't a newfangled idea by any stretch. When the Mackinac Bridge was being built starting in 1950, the Michigan legislature finally reluctantly agreed to issue $100 million in bonds, state bonds, to build the bridge.
In the designer's own words, a bridge is merely mathematics brought to life. And here's the wherewithal that brought the mathematics to life. A certified check for over $96 million. Now things began to move.
Which was an astronomical sum of money back in the day. Unfortunately, we were under a lot of pressure to hold down the costs as much as possible. And the designer of the Mackinac Bridge, David Steinman, who was an outstanding civil engineer, designed the bridge to meet the cost considerations and to handle the weather conditions and other related factors at Mackinac. And what he came up with was the design that we see and drive over to this day.
There had been just 10 years before you wrote your story, in 1979, a small freighter had hit the Mackinac Bridge, but the boat was the one damaged. And you report that if the freighter was large, like, say, 65,000 tons, it would have just made a mess of the supports. In 1989, were engineers worried about another strike of that scale?
Well, the engineers that I talked to certainly were. Unfortunately, it fell on deaf ears with the Mackinac Bridge Authority and the Michigan Department of Transportation, because they viewed it on a cost analysis basis, and they said, well, what are the chances of this happening? And we want to save as much money as we can in our current budget. Mm-hmm. So they resisted any change whatsoever. However, your listeners might want to note that even before the Francis Scott Key collapse in Baltimore Harbor, transportation officials in Delaware and Pennsylvania agreed to spend $93 million to put in protective pilings for the Delaware Memorial Bridge over the Delaware River. So that construction is underway right now. And these are substantial pilings. They're 80 feet in diameter.
Oof.
They go 45 feet deep into the riverbed. And they are designed to protect the two main vertical supports for the Delaware Memorial Bridge. So there are some efforts to even modify and protect existing bridges. But there are so many over the course of the United States that the money just isn't there now.
We need to take a quick break. More in a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Venkatesh Kodur is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Michigan State University, and he joins us now with a little more technical expertise. Professor Kodur, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
We've just heard a little bit about how there are many bridges, including the Mackinac Bridge, that do not include things like rock pilings or fenders around their supports. Can you tell us a little bit about how difficult it is to engineer such a thing on Michigan's existing bridges, the ones that are already built, that is to say, when it's not part of the original design?
Yes. Yeah, these bridges, typically, these are iconic bridges, which were including Mackinac Bridge, built in 50s and 60s. At that time, the technology, I think, there was not that much of a focus on these bumpers, so-called bumpers. Typically, what these bumpers do is, it's just like in a car, for the structural elements or load-supporting structural elements called piers or columns in a bridge, if a ship or any other things were to hit, they will take all the stress and the load so that the existing bridge won't be touched upon, or the structural elements won't be touched upon. It won't lead to the collapse. These options, I think, came into practice much more in 70s and 80s and later. So this can be implemented in the current bridges we have, but it requires a little bit of effort. It's not like it's easy when you incorporate this at the time of new constructions. But for the existing bridges, it can be done, but it requires some planning, a little bit more cost than what it would have been when it was originally built. But that could be done because it's basically putting some kind of rocks and stones and concrete surrounding that structure so that any ship which comes and hits, it will hit this rather than hitting directly the bridge load supporting elements or columns.
May I ask, when you saw that clip of the Francis Scott Key Bridge folding up and collapsing, what went through your mind?
Oh, I couldn't. It was a shock in the morning when I woke up. I saw that when, in fact, I was in another meeting, American Concrete Institute meeting. I was in a hotel in New Orleans, came down to have a breakfast, and it was shocking. Basically, because I never thought, I think, that bridge would come down. It is called progressive collapse. We have pancaking of the entire structure. And my first thought of this was, you know, still the news reports were sketchy. How many people were were at that time on the bridge, and how many went down, and, you know, it is a major bridge in the East Coast, and the impact of that, it was shocking. It was shocking, yeah. And these are called extreme loading events. they happen very, very rarely. It's not rarely, very, very rarely. So from that perspective, I don't think there is should be too much concern on these bridges, what we have in Michigan and elsewhere, because these are built to the highest standards. And if they find, for example, including in the Baltimore Bridge, if they, obviously the investigation is going on, the report will come out, UNTSB and others. Once it comes out, if there is any serious concerns, immediately they will be put in place during the repair and renewal. Every 5 years, these bridges are inspected and they are provided with additional features as need be.
It's certainly a fact that freighters, you know, the kind of ships that go under these bridges and around them are larger now than in years past.
Yeah.
How does that change the math on how engineers think about bridge design and construction?
Yeah, definitely. I think our ships are much larger. So if they hit, they have to take much more impact force on these supporting elements. That's where these bumpers and other things come in. And you can make sure these ships are, you know, cargo ships or others, they won't directly hit that. So you can provide a bumper structure in front of these supporting elements. We call it piers and columns, so that even if the ship were to go and hit, it won't directly put that load or impact on that supporting elements. That can be done. That can be upgraded. We need to upgrade to the latest loads arising from these massive ships which passes through them.
Professor Venkatesh Kodur from Michigan State University's College of Civil and Environmental Engineering. Thank you so much for talking with us, Venkatesh. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. Today's pod was produced by Laura Weber-Davis, our executive producer. Other producers on our show are Mike Blank, Ronia Cabansag, Mercedes Mejia, and April Van Buren. Our podcast editor is Rachel Ishikawa. Music for the pod comes from Blue Dot Sessions and from Audio Network. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in your feeds tomorrow. Bye-bye.